This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
First hour in the books right here on The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you from there. Programming note, in the final hour of the show at about 12:30, we'll be joined by the play-by-play voice of your Washington Capitals, John Walton. As he is on the call later this afternoon, Caps and Panthers from Cap One Arena. Alex Ovechkin, 7 goals shy of passing Wayne Gretzky for the NHL's all-time goal-scoring record. Pre-game coverage gets going to 4:45 right here on The Fan. Caps and Panthers coming your way a little bit later on today. We were talking about the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball program. Kevin Willard with just sound bites that would feed families. When it comes to the sports radio industry, very open, honest, and transparent about the current state of Maryland men's basketball. Also, about what it's going to take for him to give a long-term commitment to this program. He needs to see it in wax, and I cannot blame him. We'll see how things play out for the Maryland Terrapins basketball program. Kevin Willard rumored to be in play for the Villanova job. We know their AD. Damon Evans just took the SMU job, so I can only imagine how that complicates contract negotiations, but we'll see how this plays out. Terps got to keep the main thing, though. They punished Grand Canyon yesterday, and they got Colorado State on tap tomorrow in the round of 32. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline where we find our pal Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards for the Monumental Sports Network. You can give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. What's going on, my guy? How are you, man?
Doing great. Good to be on with you. You know, you talking about Ovechkin reminds me. I've been trying to kind of do the math, try to see which game it's going to be. So hopefully I could be there. I got tickets to 2 games coming up.
Okay.
But hopefully the stars will align. We'll
see. I was about to say, I hope it does for you as well, my man. And me too. Look, I've never been, this is full, giving out state secrets here on the air, Chase. I've never been to a Caps game. So
really? If
I could somehow be in attendance when the Great Eight breaks Gretzky's record.
For your first, been to an NHL game at all?
Never, brother. Never.
That'd be an incredible first game to go to.
It would be an incredible experience. I'm actually ashamed that I had to say that in front of
a whole. You got to go, man. It's I think anyone would tell you it's a much better sport to see live in person than it is on TV. It's kind of the reverse of football. I think a lot of people would argue that football is better on TV than
sure.
in person. Hockey, it's the exact opposite. And the best thing about going to a hockey game is the worse the seat, like the better the seat. Like the higher up
really?
You are,
okay, yeah.
the better it is because the rink is huge and you can see so much more.
For sure. I think people feel that way kind of about football as well. Before we get into the young Washington Wizards, obviously a lot, you know, swirling around that organization right now in a good and bad way. I want to get into the Terps here real quick, Chase. You being a DMV guy through and through here, like your thoughts on the state of the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball program, and do you see them ever being able to compete in the NIL arms race?
Well, I mean, what Willard said kind of throws that into question, right? It was a fascinating sort of like pulling the curtain back and looking at the inner workings of a program that I've followed since I was a kid. My dad went to Maryland, so I've watched them. I mean, I remember watching Keith Booth and Joe Smith and, you know, Steve Francis and going way back. And, you know, of course, they won the title in 2002 and had one of the best college basketball teams I've ever seen. And then they moved to the Big Ten and this is like the first time they've sort of gotten back at least a little bit close to what they used to be. And it kind of, I think, has been nostalgic for a lot of us who have watched the team over the years. And then you have this come out, and it seems like it's, you know, kind of precarious whether they can keep it going. And, you know, the prospect of losing a coach to a bigger program is not something that I've really considered for Maryland before, because this is a team when I was growing up, you know, they went to the Final Four. They won a title. What do you mean there's another level to reach? But obviously Villanova is what it is after what Jay Wright did there. And Kevin Willard, I mean, he's got the leverage right now. And I thought it was pretty fascinating. I've never seen that before where a coach basically – you know, said where the AD was going before I had seen any rumors about it. And then it happens, right, the next day. So certainly you hope that the leverage he's using doesn't, you know, result in him leaving and going to Villanova, and that, you know, it results in the changes that he's looking for so that they can build a sustainable program, because it's been so fun to watch this year.
Yeah.
And obviously Derek Queen has been a huge part of it, but it does feel like, you know, maybe they can reinstall themselves as a basketball power if they keep Willard and if they, you know, I guess, you know, shore up their NIL operation.
So, Chase, I don't know how familiar you are with the interworkings of, like, the contract negotiations in college basketball. If there's no athletic director at your program, Chase, how are you negotiating a new deal? Who are you talking to?
I mean, that's a great question. I would guess with the way that Willard sort of categorized things in the press conference that, you know, maybe him and Evans weren't on the same page, and that, you know, maybe a new perspective could help that cause. But certainly, you know, I would imagine there'd be an acting AD that he would have to negotiate with. But certainly an unusual situation, which, as you mentioned, by the way, they're still in the tournament.
Yeah.
So this isn't happening in May or something. It's happening right between games in March. Not even like, you know, when they have a few off days. It's like right in between the first and second round. Pretty incredible.
And I think that, you know, it fueled them yesterday in the victory over Grand Canyon. I think the mental makeup of that basketball team and knowing the DNA of Kevin Willard-led programs, this is something that's definitely fueling them rather than hurting them, bringing them closer together. They're already a lot of people's sexy pick to come out of that loaded West region. We'll see how they do tomorrow against Colorado State. I got to ask you about the D.C. family, Chase. Really good basketball being played by the fellas since February 1st. Last night, obviously, the entire organization and really – a lot of sports folks in the DMV area watching college basketball and the Wizards last night with a heavy heart after the loss of Bub Carrington Sr., the father of Bub, the Wizards rookie. For him to be able to play last night, I thought was huge and says a lot about him and the mental toughness that he has. But I would have to think, knowing the circumstances that he was dealing with, maybe basketball, a little bit of an outlet for him last night. Describe the scenes in the locker room last night, if you can, Chase.
Yeah, obviously just a crushing loss. When you think about just Bub Carrington Jr. being 19 years old, you have to feel for the guy. And, you know, his father, for those who don't know, has been a long-time basketball coach in Baltimore. Long before he had a son who made it to the NBA, you know, he ran an AAU program in Baltimore and was kind of a pioneer in that regard and had a lot of really good players come through the ranks, guys who went on to play pro. And so he touched a lot of lives, and he knows that there's a lot of people in the basketball community that are hurting right now because, you know, college coaches, NBA scouts, NBA coaches, front office people. There's a lot of people who knew Bub Carrington Sr. And, you know, the fact that his son, you know, made it to the NBA and played for the local team was a great story. And, yeah, Bub Carrington Jr. played in the game last night. He didn't speak to the media, so, you know, we didn't get a glimpse into, you know, his reasoning for playing. But, you know, you make just an important point there that basketball has been such a big part of his family. And, you know, family is a big part of, you know, who Bub Carrington Jr. is, too. You know, when he got drafted last summer, he had a bus of about 50 people from Baltimore go up to the Barclays Center to be there with him. I mean, it was very unusual. It was his dad. It was his high school coach, his AAU coach, I believe high school teammates, you know, extended family. And he had a lot of family there last night. You know, there were dozens of people there that were there to support him. And you could tell that, you know, it really meant a lot to head coach Brian Keith. We also talked to Jordan Poole just to kind of lift him up. The way Jordan Poole described it was he's got a lot of shoulders to lean on. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Bub was able to feel that love and feel that support and on obviously a very difficult day for him.
Yeah, for sure. And it's even difficult for me to compartmentalize, Chase. I'm someone that's lost, you know, both my parents in my lifetime, so I fully understand, you know, what he is going through at such a young age. And I think it really, hearing Jordan last night, first of all, just for anybody out there that's a Wizards fan or a basketball fan that doesn't understand the maturity and growth that we've seen from Jordan Poole, not even over the past 2 years, but over the course of his career. Like, I think last night kind of summed it up perfectly, man. I have talked about it, Chase, on numerous occasions with you and other folks around the organization, just the tightness of this group. And, yeah, their record may not be the best. Yeah, they've gone through multiple, you know, 15-game losing streaks. But it's a group that really cares for each other. And the youngins on this team, Bilal, Keyshawn, Sar, Bub, even add A.J. Johnson now to the mix. Like, those guys really get along with each other. And Jordan Poole has been one of the voices that have helped lead them and keep them connected. So good for Bub that he has this type of tight-knit group surrounding him during this difficult time. But from a basketball standpoint, last night obviously tough. They play a really good Orlando team that's had some inconsistencies throughout the year. Paolo Banchero just ultimately too much. But another really stellar performance, Chase, from Alex Sarr, who right now I would have to think is doing his damnedest to close this Rookie of the Year race up. I know Stephon Castle at San Antonio has been impressive as a scorer, but what Sarr has done here over the past month plus has been super impressive. What's impressed you the most, Chase, and do you think he is a shoe-in for the award?
Just his aggression. I mean, he obviously has shown a lot of flashes this year. Being able to do a lot of different things, unusual stuff for a guy his size, 7 feet tall. But, you know, he wasn't the most aggressive player at times, like attacking the rim, playing physical basketball. And over the last, like, 4 or 5 games, he's been doing a lot more of that, especially in the paint and around the rim. He's been scoring a lot more in the paint. He's been rolling to the rim off pick and rolls and just, you know, throwing down dunks or having strong finishes through contact. And I thought last night was going to be an interesting test for him because the Orlando Magic are a very physical defensive team. Guys like, you know, Paolo Banchero, as you mentioned, Jonathan Isaac, Goga Batadze, Franz Wagner, they have a really big team and they play with a lot of contact, and it didn't slow Alex Sarr down at all. And the way he's played recently, it kind of reminds me, we've heard a few quotes this season from veteran players. Kyle Kuzma earlier in the year said, like, once he learns how to sort of use his size as a 7-footer, then he's going to be a completely different player. And I talked to Marcus Smart recently. He said something like that, where he said once he learns how to use his size and athleticism, he's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see glimpses of that. When you're 7 feet tall and you're far more athletic than the average player your size, like, you got to use that to your advantage. And we see young players sort of figure that out along the way. A guy who I would point to is Denny Avdia. I don't know if you've seen, what he's been doing lately, but we saw it last year, of course, with a career year in Washington. You know, he had played a few years, and then once he realized that, you know, he's 6'9",
yeah.
a lot faster and stronger than most guys his size, then you could just bully people. And I think we're starting to see that Alex Carr has those capabilities at his size and at his position.
Yeah, he has been electric here in the month of March. 17 points per game on 39% shooting from the three-point line on 6 attempts per contest. The rebounding is something that's been impressive to me as well. He's had 4 double-digit rebounding games this month. I know that's the area that they want him to really improve at. And here's the other thing, Chase, with the aggression. There is grown man strength that is going to naturally come with him. Chase, I know you're familiar with, but our listening audience may not be. His brother, Olivier, is a house when it comes to, like, the size of this dude and how bulky he is in the wingspan and the shoulder, the broadness of the shoulders. Like, so Sarr has a lot of room to fill out his frame. Chase, I think this guy's going to end up being a menace. I mean, just the size, the movement skills. He's really excited me here in the past 5 games. Loved watching him go up against Nikola Jokic, just fearless. They were letting him shoot the ball. He was letting it fly. I loved everything about it. What is the next step for him, you would say?
Yeah, well, first on the Olivier, that parallel, mm-hmm. that's some of the GM Will Dawkins said on draft night, you know, because Olivier played for the Thunder, and that's Alex's older brother, and Will Dawkins was with the Thunder, so he saw how Olivier Sarr filled out, gained a lot of muscle, and they feel like that Alex Sarr could do the same thing. I think the next level for him is doing more around the basket. You know, he's shown he can knock down some threes, I think consistently enough where, you know, it'll continue to be a part of his game. But he has taken far fewer shots and shot a lower percentage than a lot of big men around the league at the rim. And, you know, I think we're seeing lately that that's not because he can't do it, right? He just hasn't been doing it. And, you know, maybe over time, the Wizards, like we've seen lately with having him rim run more often, can sort of unlock that part of his game. But, you know, you did mention Rookie of the Year, and I forgot to answer that. So I would say that it's probably down to 3 players at this point. I think it's Alex Sarr. I think it's Zachary Risacher of the Hawks, who was the number 1 pick. And I think it's Stephon Castle, who was the 4th pick with the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, Sarr at the All-Star break had an ankle injury and missed some time both before and after. And his numbers kind of suffered from that injury when he was playing. But he's gotten healthy. He's scoring a lot more. And traditionally, that has been an offensive award.
Yeah.
Like 20 of the last 21 rookies of the year have averaged at least 15 points per game. It's not really a defensive award. So the more he scores, the better chance he has of winning it, because I think the voters often look at that first. Who scores the most and, you know, who puts some other numbers up, but usually it just comes down to scoring.
Chase, one thing that I really go back to, like, February 1st is kind of when I feel like the flip switch, so to speak, is the effort of this bunch night in and night out on both ends of the floor. The ball's popping around at a rate that I wasn't accustomed to seeing in the first half of the season. The unselfishness is there. Defensively, the rotations are a little bit more crisp. They're closing out harder. Who do you credit for this turnaround?
Well, I think the additions of Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton have helped a lot in that regard. I mean, Brian Keefe deserves some credit. I think it's worth noting that last year the team got better down the stretch. They got better over the course of the season, but after he took over, took a while, but they really closed strong and had some of their best wins. So that's been a trend for him through 2 years. You know, over time he has shown he can kind of figure it out. But Marcus Smart, in terms of the defensive toughness, I think you've seen a huge change in that regard since he showed up. Even when he doesn't play, you know, he's on the sideline, on the bench, kind of coaching players up. And I think his mindset in practice has really rubbed off on other players. And then the ball movement, I think Chris Middleton deserves a lot of credit for that. He's a really efficient shooter, and he's a really good passer. He, you know, he has the most assists on the team per 36 minutes. If you look at some other advanced metrics, like, you know, assist percentage, He throws very efficient passes to his teammates. It's more likely to result in points when he throws the pass than anyone else on the team. So those guys are just smart, experienced players. They're tough. We've seen a few more games since they showed up of, things getting chippy. It happened against Toronto, it happened against Detroit. And each time it's Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton kind of right in the middle of it. I didn't expect that from Middleton. I did expect it from Smart.
For sure.
Not necessarily Middleton, but they have kind of brought an attitude and a toughness, I think, to the team. And that's allowed them to be more competitive and keep the game closer. And then when those guys have played and it comes down to the final minutes, they're just so experienced and have been on winning teams. They just know what to do in those moments. And like we saw when they beat – the Toronto Raptors in Toronto, it was Marcus Smart who got the final stop. Yeah. Chris Middleton's made some timely passes, some timely shots. So I think those two guys have had a profound influence on the team.
Two-parter for you, Chase, to let you go here, my man. The draft lottery obviously is going to be huge for this team. Can you explain to the fans and me as well, get me up to speed and refreshed, where they currently sit in the lottery odds and then how many cracks are they going to have at a first-round pick, meaning like how many firsts do they actually have going into this, and what would determine if they lose any of those firsts?
Yeah, so right now they have the worst record in the league, which means they would be tied with two other teams for the best percentage odds to get the number one pick. The odds are flattened at the top. They changed it in 2019 to discourage tanking. But what does matter is if you have the worst record in the league, then you can fall no further than fifth in the draft. If you get the second pick, you can fall to sixth. And if you get the third, if you have the second worst record, you can fall to sixth. If you have the third worst record, you can fall to seventh. So it does matter a little bit. But either way, the Wizards are going to be drafting pretty high, and it's a good class in terms of the picks at the top. A couple of them are playing in the tournament right now. If you want to pay attention, Cooper Flagg on Duke is a guy to watch, and VJ Edgecombe on Baylor is another one to keep an eye on. Two of the top three prospects aren't playing in the tournament. They played for Rutgers and didn't make it, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. But, yes, the Wizards also have a second first-round pick. That is coming from the Memphis Grizzlies, who are one of the better teams in the West. So it's probably going to be in the late 20s. But, another situation where the Wizards are still rebuilding, trying to draft and develop, and they'll have multiple bites at the apple in a draft class that a lot of people believe is much deeper than last year's.
So if they don't end up with the number one pick, Chase, what do you think is the best addition to this group?
The best what?
If they don't end up with the number one pick, who do you think would be the best addition to this group?
Well, Dylan Harper, I think, has kind of separated himself as the second best prospect in this draft. Son of Ron Harper, I'm sure basketball fans remember him winning rings with the Bulls and the Lakers. The point guard next to Michael Jordan and then Kobe Bryant, pretty amazing career there. But he's like a 6'6". Point guard, no one could stay in front of him in college. I mean, kind of like a James Harden type, reminds a lot of people of him because he's left-handed. But I would also compare him to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander just because he's 6'6", and he can get to the rim whenever he wants. And, we'll see if that translates to the next level. But yeah, He's an extremely dynamic offensive player. And, if the Wizards were picking second and he can maintains his status as the second-best prospect, and he would check off a lot of boxes for them because of his positional size and his ability to make plays off the dribble. So I think either way, whether the Wizards get the first pick or, fall a few spots down, they're going to have an opportunity to get a really good player because the top of this draft has a lot of guys with star potential.
I don't know if you saw VJ Edgecombe yesterday try and break the internet, Chase. Holy cow, brother.
He is the most athletic player in this draft. I don't think it's really that close, at least at the top.
For sure. Chase, I appreciate you as always, my man. Enjoy the time with your family this afternoon, brother. I appreciate you making some time for me, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.
One of the absolute best, talking all things NBA as well as college basketball, our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep riding around the DMV. We'll keep the conversation on the Wizards momentarily. I'll tell you which Wizard I have been most impressed with this season outside of the rookie Alex Saar. It's next here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Just getting rolling. A lot more to get to as we take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's the youngest of Charles L. Willingham right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. You can get at me on social media. It's at NELL_BTP. I need like a Pepto-Bismol or something. Holy hell.
We were just having a conversation. What happened?
Indigestion. It just got the best of me. I thought I was about to lose it.
You haven't even eaten.
I haven't. That gets into last night. Cheated a little bit.
Again? Hey, you know what?
I've saved my cheats for the weekend, though.
Understandable. That's why I'm not gonna give you a ton of guff about it.
I've been going hard. Chipotle bowl, no rice, man. It's changed my life. I promise you, it has. We'll keep you up to speed with my weight loss journey as the summer
continues.
Yes, the summer continues right here on The Fan. It is a loaded day, loaded weekend around the DMV. When it comes to the sports landscape, a little bit later on in the afternoon, after the DOC, Rick Doc Walker finishes up with you. He'll take you inside, or take you up to Caps Hockey. The fellas back at home taking on the Florida Panthers. It is a 5 p.m. face-off pregame coverage just going to 4:45 right here in your flagship home for Washington Capitals Hockey. 106.7 The Fan coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Before we get out of here, about 12:30, the play-by-play voice of your Washington Capitals, John Walton, going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on what the Caps need to do to get past the old Florida Panthers. I will ask John Walton, should the Caps be on upset alert when we get geared up for the NHL playoffs? I continue to feel like they're going to have that number one seed. We don't know who the 8 seed is going to be in the Eastern Conference.
Big race for it right
now.
There
is a massive race going on.
Like six teams that could all end up being the wild card 2 spot.
So that's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, we're continuing to follow the great eight Alex Ovechkin and whether or not he could pass Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. 7 goals shy is Alex Ovechkin. He's currently tied for 4th right now in all of the NHL with 35 goals, Max, at 39 years of age.
That's why he's the GOAT.
I continue to say it's the greatest feat I've ever seen in my lifetime in athletics. I've never seen anything like this. At this age, you see, I'm a big believer that, like, I ain't gonna lie. I think we can start, and maybe we'll take calls on this as the show rolls on. You know how I feel about LeBron James because of what he's doing at his age.
Of course.
Know how I feel about Tom Brady because of what he was able to accomplish at his age.
Of course.
Darryl Green obviously accomplished great things at his older age.
Of course.
Alex Ovechkin, I think, if he breaks Gretzky's record when he breaks it this year, I think there's a real argument that he should be on the Mount Rushmore of greatest athletes of all time.
Man, even if he does it next year.
Yeah, it'd be even more impressive next year. Honestly, he'd be 40. So I think he deserves a spot on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest athletes of all time. I just think about nothing's really changed with Ovi. Like, he's the same guy. It feels like it, at least.
He has this knack for finding his spot on the ice. No matter where it is, no matter where anybody else is, no matter where any defender is, he is able to get himself into a good position for either a rebound, for a deflection, for just to get open and absolutely rip a shot from the top of the dot.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. I don't think we'll ever see anything like it. He is one of one.
Yeah, quite literally one of one. And what's amazing, first of all, Caps became the first team in the NHL to clinch the postseason.
That's right, baby. First
night.
To 100.
Yes, sir, with that win over Philadelphia. But the other thing that I feel like kind of gets lost or is getting lost in this Capitals season is the play of some of the other guys. Quote unquote.
They're all having career years.
Literally. Like, and we always talk about our guy Protas, man. Like,
dude,
he is.
I was going to drop a nugget.
Yeah. Give it to us.
He is, I believe, the only player in the NHL right now with a plus minus of 40.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. I'm going to actually click 40. On him right now because that plus, 43 is his plus minus. First
yep.
in all of the NHL.
There it is.
You want to talk about just a big heathen flying around whacking people. 6'6", 250 pounds. Instant offense is what he's been for this group this year, man. It's been super impressive to watch. We're also in the midst of another 30-goal season from our guy Tom Wilson. He's playing well.
That's his first 30-goal season,
Tommy. Like, it's been really exciting to watch. The young, small pup, Connor McMichael, doing his thing. He's got 24 goals on the season. It's been really fun to watch, man. Caps in action later on this afternoon, 4:45. The pregame coverage just going right here on the Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to spin around the DMV. Craig Hoffman going to join us top of the 11 o'clock hour to talk a little bit about the old Washington Commanders. We'll get into the Commanders next here on the Fan. Plenty of NFL news that we'll get to before we get out of here as well. New quarterback in the Big Apple for the New York Giants. Obviously, we got a new quarterback in the other part of the Big Apple with the Jets. Justin Fields, for a guy that's gotten benched in, unfairly benched, I might add, as many times as Justin Fields, he has just been a pro's pro throughout this situation. I still feel like there's a lot of meat left on the bone when it comes to Justin Fields. I don't know why they benched him last year in Pittsburgh. They felt like, I don't know how you would have, could have thought that his ceiling or that Russell Wilson's ceiling would be higher. We saw it only lasted for 2-3 weeks and it fizzled out.
Yeah, it did. But the thing about Russ is, like, if you're comparing Russ and Fields, it's just who's the better downfield passer? Because Fields has shown time and again that getting downfield is not his bag, you know?
For sure. It's tough.
It is.
Yeah, New York is going to be interesting. Cool. I think they have interesting young pieces. It's just, when are they going to get a quarterback?
I say the one thing I will say, Garrett Wilson, he's always open.
Garrett Wilson always open. Can they get him the football? That's what the problem is going to be for the New York Jets. They're not as far off, I guess, as some may think. From a talent perspective, I still like a lot of what they have. Their young offensive line has some good, intriguing pieces. They may add to that with the number 7 overall pick. Right now, Olu Fashanu slated to slide in at left tackle in the place of the retired Tyron Smith. They lose Morgan Moses. Carter Warren, who I actually wanted here in Washington, the former Pitt tackle, going in. What's Carter Warren going in? Year 3 now or year 2? I wanted him here in Washington. He tore his ACL in college, kind of hurt his draft stock. But you seem like you got your tackle situated. They picked number 7 overall. I don't know which way they possibly can go. I saw this stupid rumor of, well, could they go with Jackson Dart at 7 overall? I would vomit.
I was driving here, and yeah. Even on the national show, they were mentioning that like Buzz has been picking up for Jackson Dart to go top 10.
Come on, bro.
I agree, but man.
The pundits, I'm sorry, and I'm not about to go off. Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, stop playing with my football intelligence, dog. Stop playing with me. There's no way you watched Jackson Dart last year and think that he's a first-round quarterback, especially a top 10 one at that. Get the hell out of here, man. We got to stop doing this. Stop pushing guys up the board because you think a team is QB needy. I mean, it's 7 overall.
7's ridiculous.
He's not a first-rounder.
That's like right after Shadur.
He's not a first-rounder. Let's just be real. And I went off about this during the week on the national network, Max. Like, the Shadur stuff is interesting to me because, like, the things that people are worried about with him, I don't know. It's all about fit, right? If he goes to the right place, I think he'll have a long career and could develop into a top 10 to 15 quarterback at the position. I feel the same way about Cam Ward. If we're going to talk about a guy potentially being a first rounder, give me Tyler Shuck over Jackson Dart. Give me the Louisville guy.
More like Tyler Yuck.
Well, he's not that great either. But I think the extended amount of time that he's spent in college football will help him out ultimately.
We've seen it.
We've seen it with Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. I think the extended time in college ultimately helps him. He ran, I think, did you see what he ran? He ran like 4.69.
Was this at the combine or at his pro day?
As pro day.
Okay.
Do you not trust pro day numbers?
No, of course not. Why would you?
You don't think T-Mac ran 4.5?
No. There's no video of that. Just like the Wilt 100 game.
Well, that's a... Is that what you're going to compare it to?
Hey, man. There's no footage.
Well, okay. I'll give you that. Yeah, when it comes to Shuck, though, man, I think he is the more... I would take Jalen Milroe over Jackson Dart. I think Will Howard
Steelers might do that.
Yeah, I think Will Howard played really well last year for Ohio State.
In a pro offense pretty much like pros everywhere.
So they're interesting. I wonder if Vegas goes with Will Howard to try to like make him Geno's.
Isn't
the Chip's there?
I was going to say, Chip is in.
That was the big reason.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
You know what? The funny picture I saw. Did you see the side by side of Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, and Dylan Gabriel?
They're all the same.
Dude, Dylan Gabriel looks like a dwarf. Doesn't even look like a college football player compared to those guys.
Yeah.
It was really funny to see. He may end up, he's 5'11", dog. There's just no way. There's no way. Jalen Milroe, though, he was moving. You believe that pro day time? He was hauling ass.
Listen, if there's one I'll believe... It's Jalen Milroe's.
You mentioned Pittsburgh. He seems like the ideal Steeler quarterback, too.
Apparently, him and Tomlin had dinner. Yeah. So,
I'm reading the tea leaves as well.
Keep my eyes on it.
For sure. Last year with him, the thing that kind of was, the interceptions was kind of a problem.
Not good.
Inconsistent as a thrower. I just think in Arthur Smith's offense, maybe, just maybe, he ends up being the guy. We got a lot more to get to. Craig Hoffman going to join us at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Talking all things burgundy and gold. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll answer this question, and we'll chew on this in the 11 o'clock hour as well. The Commanders signed former Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had a Noah Brown-like impact. I'll expound upon that next year on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We'll take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Caps hockey coming up a little bit later on this afternoon, 4:45. Fellas at home playing host to the Florida Panthers. Play-by-play voice of your Caps. John Walton going to join us at 12:30. Super excited for that conversation. See what John thinks about Alex Ovechkin's chase of Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. I wonder what John Walton's favorite Alex Ovechkin moment has been over the years, man, because there are a lot of them. I would have to think. My favorite Ovi moment is him after they won the Stanley Cup, and some of the sound bites that he gave us was just absolutely lit.
All-time ranting and ravings of a drunk Russian man.
I think the one is, we not suck this year.
Yep. All time.
One of my absolute favorites. Alex Ovechkin, 7 goals away from passing Wayne Gretzky for the NHL's all-time goal-scoring record. College basketball on tap this afternoon as well. We've spent the entire first hour and change talking about the Terps. We'll actually get back on the Terps before we get out of here. Top of the 12 o'clock hour, because I think it's that juicy. Kevin Willard with sound bites that will feed families. The Terps not distracted by everything that's going on off the floor. Damon Evans, the AD, taking the job at SMU. Kevin Willard rumored to be in play for the Villanova job. All Maryland did yesterday was go out and win by 32 in their first round matchup. They take on Colorado State, the 12 seed in that West region. Winner of that gets to take on the winner of UConn and Florida. Based on the way UConn looked yesterday, Florida's going to beat the hell out of them. Let's just be real. I think Florida, to me, probably the hottest team coming into the tournament. Like, in terms of the way they finished, I mean, it doesn't get much better than what you saw from the Gators to finish things up. Obviously, they had the hiccup to Georgia at the end of February, but they went on a tremendous run to close out the season. Wins over Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Convincing wins at that. Also with a win over Auburn on February the 8th as well. That West region, as I keep saying, though, is an absolute gauntlet. 3 of the 6 30-win teams in this tournament reside in that bracket. We'll see, though, how it ultimately plays out. Craig Hoffman going to join us top of the 11 o'clock hour as we start to, you know, gear our way into some Commanders talk. I was actually asleep when the news broke. Michael Gallup, newest wide receiver for the Washington Commanders. I think he's got a chance to have a tremendous impact here. I really do. I think they know what they're doing, first and foremost. I trust them. He is a guy that when he is right, Michael Gallup can play, man. Well, Mike Gallup is right. When did he tear that ACL? Was that 2021 when he only played 9 games when he tore the ACL? You look at the year before that, it's 59 catches, 843 yards, 5 tubs. Year before that, 66 catches, 1,100 yards in his sophomore season in the NFL. He was averaging 17 yards a catch in 2019. If you all haven't learned yet, this is the NFL's rehab center, the Washington Commanders. This is the NFL's rehab center. You come here to resurrect your career. Can I show you Zach Ertz from last year? I'll never forget me and Chris Russell screaming and yelling at each other on a windbag Wednesday when the Zach Ertz news broke. I said, oh, he's going to be nothing but a catch and fall merchant. Fast forward throughout the season, he's the second best receiver on the team. Like, it was, to me, really impressive to watch what he was able to do. I think that because the performance we saw out of him, I think that Michael Gallup, it gives me more confidence that a guy like Michael Gallup can come here and resurrect his career. Based off of what we've seen from Bobby Wagner and Austin Eckler, This is Rehab University, man. You come to D.C. What's the old saying? Come to Death Row Records, baby. Come to the DMV to get your career right, man. He spoke to the media the other day. I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, hearing him talk. It was It was cool to see. I like how honest he was. He said, look, man, trying to transition from Dallas to another team was just hard. And if you're anybody that has been put in an uncomfortable set of circumstances before and had your life circumstances change on you, you understand how this goes. I think he's got a real shot to do something really, really special here. He's a Colorado State graduate. Sorry, Terps are about to bust your boy's ass, Michael Gallup. But no, I like the signing. If anyone remembers him and Noah Brown in Dallas, like, he's the better of the two guys. So if Noah Brown was able to resurrect his career here, I wonder what type of success Gallup's going to have. We'll see if he has that speed still. That's what he was torching Washington with when he was in Dallas, that deep speed, not to be messed around with. 1-800-636-1067, the number. Craig Hoffman, host of the Take Command podcast with Logan Paulson, joins us next on The Fan.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.